From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. The news yesterday that the investment company, the Huntsman family, was going to purchase the Salt Lake Tribune surprised pretty much everyone. And even though there are good reasons for employees and supporters of the paper to be relieved, there are tons of questions about this deal, and most everyone agrees we may never get answers to many of them. Like, why would the Huntsmans buy the Tribune? Especially since it was mortally wounded a few years ago and the paper's operating arrangement cut the Tribune's portion of profits pretty much in half. The Huntsmans are successful business people. Why would they do that? Under that agreement, the LDS Church had veto power over any new owner of the Tribune. Why would they sign off on this? And what will the influence of the Huntsmans be on coverage of the paper? And those are only a few of the questions. We'll ask as many as we can today, whether there are answers or not. So join us after the news.
KUER's volunteers give their time year-round to lend a helping hand. Our volunteers staff booths at special events, help with paperwork in our membership department, and assist the news and Radio West teams with behind-the-scenes details. Maybe you're a photographer or a graphic designer and you'd like to volunteer your skills. Or you have some spare time that you'd like to donate. We're always grateful for a little extra help from our friends. Find out more about volunteer opportunities at KUER.org.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're talking about this surprise deal that was announced yesterday that the Huntsman family is in the process of purchasing the Salt Lake Tribune. Now, it's easy to make the argument of why the Salt Lake Tribune, or really any independent newspaper, is an invaluable community resource. It holds institutions and the powerful accountable. It provides transparency. I don't need to go down the list. You know it. But it's harder to make the argument for why buying the Tribune is a good investment for someone like the Huntsmans. And here's why. Back in 2013, the hedge fund company that owns the Tribune renegotiated this operating arrangement with the Deseret News. It's called the Joint Operating Agreement. You may just hear the shorthand version of it today as the JOA. Anyway, that agreement, for complicated reasons, reasons a lot of people still don't understand, changed the percentage of profit the Tribune gets from 58% to 30%, something like that. In other words, this new agreement cut the Tribune's profits in half. Now, if you're the investment arm of the Huntsman family, the patriarch of which is a billionaire industrialist, why would you make that deal? For the good of the community? Maybe. John Huntsman Sr. has said it was important that the Tribune's independent voice survive. But still, money-wise, it's a bad deal unless you can change the conditions of that joint operating agreement. So did they do that? We don't know. How much did the Huntsmans pay? We don't know. Why did the LDS Church sign off on this deal? Because they had to. We don't know. And here's something else we don't know. What will a Tribune owned by the Huntsmans look like? Most of the men in charge of that business are staunch Republicans and staunch Latter-day Saints, too. So what would that mean for the paper's political coverage or for Pat Bagley's cartoons or Peggy Fletcher Stack's coverage of Mormonism or Robert Kirby's wise and smart-ass columns? Who knows? Here's something we do know. The deal is not really final. Not yet, anyway, it seems. So today in the program, we're going to be talking about these questions, if not answering some of them. You can join us with your own questions or comments. 801-585-WEST is the number, 801-585-9378. Our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. Terry Orme is with us first. Veteran reporter and editor of the Salt Lake Tribune joins us now from his office in downtown Salt Lake City. And Terry Orme, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Doug. Thank you for having me.
I guess I can say congratulations. Do you feel like that's an appropriate thing to say?
Yeah, I'll take congratulations. I feel very good about this.
Yeah. So is it true you were informed of this deal by the CEO of the Denver Post, Mac Tully, who walks into the office unannounced? That's how you learned about it. Is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Mac and I were to have a phone conversation yesterday. I was waiting for the phone to ring, and he walked. And that's kind of a disconcerting event. but he sat down and smiled, and that put me at ease and said, I think I have some news that you will approve of and like. And then he let me know, and I immediately ran out into the newsroom and said, we need to get a story up in 3 minutes because the news was going to come over the PR newswire at 10. I wanted to be ahead of that. So
So you ran and grabbed Tony, right? Tony Semerad.
Yeah, I started yelling for Tony Semerad and his editor, Dave Noyce. Yeah, that's right.
So I guess, again, a lot of what's going on in the story, at least in terms of the way you're covering it, we're covering it, is the things that we don't really understand. What do we know? What can you tell us, anyway, of how this process played out? Start with who exactly it is that purchased the paper or is in the process of purchasing the paper.
The owner, the Huntsman purchasing the paper is Paul Huntsman,
right.
46 years old. He is part of the Huntsman Business Enterprises. He runs an investment fund for the family businesses. Many of his siblings, very well-versed in things business and a graduate of the Wharton School. And if you talk to him and ask him, he will say a lifelong reader of the Salt Lake Tribune and a longtime admirer of the Salt Lake Tribune. So, that's Paul Huntsman. I think we will learn a lot more about Paul in coming weeks and months.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. So the terms were not disclosed. And I'm getting a sense that we never will learn certain aspects of the arrangement. Is that fair to say?
I think that's probably true. I personally was not involved in any of the negotiations, and in many ways I'm thankful for that. So I am very ignorant of many of the details, unaware of many of the details. I have perspective on the details, but that's really all I have is my point of view and my take on things.
Paul Huntsman said yesterday, I think in a statement, that his family was, here's the quote, thrilled to own a business of this quality and stature. Stature, no doubt. Quality is the question. How much money, if you can say, were you guys losing a month after this
arrangement? I can't and won't say. I think it's a fair statement to say that we weren't making money and that we were losing money. The details of that, I think, are best kept to myself.
I understand that. But was it fair to say you were sinking? That you couldn't.
Well,
you couldn't sustain.
I think the Salt Lake Tribune, over the last, since the renegotiation of the JOA that you mentioned at the beginning, has done a really great job and has done some great journalism and has had many successes. So I hesitate to say it was sinking. How sustainable?
But Terry, I'm not talking about your journalism.
Yeah,
I'm talking about whether or not you guys were making money. There's no doubt your journal. Let's stipulate the journalism is great. I'm talking about whether you guys were sinking because you were losing tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. And I know you can't be specific about the numbers.
I think to ask the question this way, were we sustainable? I think that's very much in doubt.
Okay.
That's how I'd put it.
Good. Okay. I want to ask you about why you figured Paul Huntsman and the Huntsman family wants to buy the Salt Lake Tribune. Because on one hand, this is the investment arm purchasing it. This is a successful business mind who, in Paul Huntsman, as you suggested earlier. But also, the Huntsman family is a pretty well-regarded philanthropist organization. So what are the motives here? Is this for profit because they're going to make money off the deal or because they believe in the community resource and whether we make so much money or not, we believe in the Tribune's independence, so we're going to do this?
Again, only my perspective.
Yeah.
Only the Huntsmans can answer that question. My perspective is that they do want to have the Salt Lake Tribune being a going business concern. I think that they are business people, and they don't want to underwrite this enterprise. I think, though, that profit. There aren't the same expectations for profit that Alden Global Capital would have, but that a New York hedge fund would have.
Yeah.
I think that they have much more modest expectations in that regard. Again, I can't speak for them, but that's my take on it. I think that I think that's healthy. I think the Salt Lake Tribune does need to stand on its own and support itself. I don't think it should be a charitable enterprise. That's something that is, you know, that is bailed out year after year. And
but
I
you
think
were,
it can be.
Right. Well, and you were before this. Before.
Yes,
let's
we,
make
yes,
that clear.
We were.
You were
yes,
before
we
2013.
Were.
And that leads to another one of these questions I know you can't necessarily answer. But what is going on with that joint operating agreement that cut your profits in half? Do you know whether or not that thing has been at least rejiggered a little bit?
Okay, I don't know it, and I'm honest about that. I don't know the details of this negotiation. I am making an assumption that yes, it has. I'm assuming that mainly because it's such a critical central piece of this that and just knowing who the Huntsmans are, they are savvy, successful business people. You know, I think that JOA had to be renegotiated for this thing to move forward.
Yeah. Another big question that I'm sure you're encountering a lot of is what is a Huntsman ownership going to mean for the coverage of the paper? And all of the sort of basic conflicts are pretty clear. You've got they're as I mentioned before, they're I think fairly stalwart Republicans, most of them anyway, you know, Latter-day Saints, faithful Latter-day Saints. You guys cover politics. You've covered, in fact, in 2004, a fairly critical or certainly really scrutinizing article related to Huntsman Chemical. And then you cover the LDS Church in a really important way. So what is that going to mean? Are you worried about those conflicts?
You know, I'm not a local ownership, especially ownership of a very powerful news-making family like the Huntsmans, is going to bring challenges. There's no question about that. But I think that Paul Huntsman and the Huntsman family will have an impact on our editorial and opinion pages. That is their prerogative, and that's what owners do, and that's to be expected. But I think the Huntsmans, if you take them at their word, and I do, have said, "Hey, we are doing this to preserve and guarantee the existence of a voice." They haven't said, "We are doing this to change that voice." And they've said to me and they've said to other staffers that they like the journalism that we do. And that's what they are buying is our journalism.
Well, they haven't always liked the journalism you do. I mean, the Huntsmans were critical of that piece back in 2004. They weren't crazy about some of the political coverage related to that rivalry between Mitt Romney and John Huntsman Jr. So they may like it what you do in general, but they've been somewhat outspoken about some of the particular coverage that you've done.
Very true. You know, you're speaking of Mormon Rivals,
right?
A book by Matt Canham and Tommy Burr.
Yeah.
Karen Huntsman, Mrs. Huntsman, wrote a pretty strongly worded letter to the public forum. We ran that letter and acknowledged, you know, her disagreements with our reporting, and we move on. You know, I think that's really a healthy, good example of what a Huntsman ownership will look like.
Yeah.
I mean, they express their opinions. We, you know, the newsroom, the editorial pages acknowledge those feelings and those opinions, and then we move on.
Yeah. Terry, do you think it's going to be a little bit like the Wall Street Journal in the sense that you have Rupert Murdoch and some fairly conservative voices who write, you know, the op-ed pieces, who have the sort of the editorial voice, but that the newsroom has always been a really well-respected, independent editorial voice, that it's going to be – it could potentially be something like that, that you have one voice expressed by on the editorial page and then independence in the newsroom?
You know, I think that's an excellent point. I think the Wall Street Journal model would be a good model. I hadn't thought of that, to be honest with you, but I would never compare the Huntsman's family to Rupert Murdoch, however.
Let me ask you one more thing, because we're essentially out of time. There's a big question now about what happens to the paper. And maybe as this thing moves along, we'll have you back to get more specifics. But a lot of questions, whether they'll infuse money back into the paper, whether people will be rehired, departments refurbished. I mean, you took a lot of hits in that time after the 2013 JOA rejiggering here. So do we know about any of that? What can you say about that at this point?
We don't. I mean, these are my assumptions. The challenges facing the newspaper industry continue, you know, and we will need to deal with those challenges and confront those challenges and manage our way through those challenges. So I don't think that Mr. Huntsman, Paul Huntsman, is going to give the Salt Lake Tribune newsroom a blank check and say, here you go. I think it's going to be strategic. I think it's going to be well thought out. And it's going to have to acknowledge the realities of what we face. And so are we going to go out and double the size of our staff to where we were, you know, 8 years ago? I doubt that. I don't know that that would be the right thing to do in any regard.
Yeah. Terry Orme, editor of the Salt Lake Tribune, joined us from his office in downtown Salt Lake. Terry Orme, thank you very much for the time.
You bet, Doug. Thank you.
We'll take a break and be back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today on the program, we're talking about the news about the Salt Lake Tribune, which you've probably heard by now. The family of Utah billionaire John Huntsman Sr. is buying the Tribune from its hedge fund owners. The deal is not entirely finished yet, we don't think. And a lot of questions, in fact, we don't understand about what happened and what will happen. But we're talking about the particulars that we can at least get to. Joan O'Brien is helping us. She's a former reporter at the Tribune, now a board member of this group called Citizens for Two Voices. The group filed a federal lawsuit to try and validate those changes to that 2013 joint operating agreement that I mentioned. We should also say that her spouse, Tom Harvey, is a reporter for the Tribune. And Joan, welcome back. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
We were sort of chatting briefly off the air, and you say your head's kind of swimming in all of this. I mean, give me a sense of your sort of initial reaction to all this.
Well, we're optimistic, and you know, we're eager to have our case rendered moot by a sale of the paper to a benevolent local owner. But you know, we haven't seen the deal yet, yeah. And you know, we will and want to. So you know, we know just a little bit about it, and you know, once we see it and can sign off on it, you know, we're going to happily settle our lawsuit.
So is it true that so in part, part of this deal, at least as we understand it, hinged in part, this is part of Tony Simrod's reporting in the Tribune, hinged in part on you withdrawing your lawsuit. Is that right?
Yes.
That the Huntsman said, okay, we'll buy this thing. Joan and her group have got to back off on the lawsuit, something like that?
Yes, as well as the Justice Department right. dropping its investigation. We were told yesterday morning at 10 o'clock as well that a deal was in the works and that it was contingent on our settling the lawsuit.
Yeah.
And you know, which of course we would do. I mean, you know, if the terms of a new JOA are, you know,
acceptable to you.
Yeah, acceptable to the readers of the Salt Lake Tribune, you know, and created environment for the Tribune to continue on as an independent voice, a strong independent journalistic voice in Utah.
So what are the deal breakers for you as you look at this thing? Does the joint operating agreement have to be reworked for you to sign off on this deal?
Oh, yes. We, you know, a sale of the Tribune in as-is condition, and I think Terry, you know, kind of alluded to this, would solve nothing.
The poor guy, he can't really be specific about how much money they're losing, and I understand that, but it seems pretty clear. They're in a difficult situation.
You know, I think that JOA was doomed from the moment that the Salt Lake Tribune reported upon it in October of 2013. When the terms of the new JOA cut the Tribune revenues in half, it was obvious that it was that it posed an existential threat to the Salt Lake Tribune. So a fair and sustaining share of revenues is required under a new deal. The veto power has to be addressed.
To explain what that means, because the LDS Church has, for some reason, under this agreement, we don't understand all of the reasons this thing was done, but the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which, of course, owns and operates the Deseret News, somehow got veto power on who would purchase the Salt Lake Tribune. That's the veto thing you were talking about.
Yes. Section 10 of the 2013 Joint Operating Agreement.
Section 10.
Yes. I do. I've read that JOA more than a few times, and unfortunately. But it does provide a unilateral veto power over who can buy and manage the Salt Lake Tribune, which violates the Newspaper Preservation Act's requirement that the two papers be independently edited and managed. So, you know, it, just on its face, the JOA violated antitrust law. It's one of the major pillars of our public interest antitrust litigation. And so, you know, we presume that a new agreement will address that. You know, we know that the Justice Department is looking at this deal too, and you know, I'm sure that that's something they will have an opinion on as well.
So here's the theory: the LDS Church was feeling the heat from your lawsuit, from the Department of Justice investigation, worried that something would happen, that they would impose a change on that agreement. There was another group, whom we'll hear about later from Jim DeBacchus, who were trying, who had more sort of progressive ideals and than Paul Huntsman might, a conservative, you know, faithful Latter-day Saint. So the church sort of picked the lesser of the two evils. They picked Paul Huntsman. Huntsman is, John Huntsman has a lot of standing in the LDS Church. That's the theory. What do you think?
Well, I don't agree with that theory, but
What part don't you agree with?
We can't know. Yeah. Well, I believe that this deal with the Huntsmans has been in the works for, well, they say 18 months. You know, from our vantage, it looked like it was, developing over a long period of time.
Right.
The lesser of two evils issue, I can't speak to that. I don't know what the, the church leaders or the leaders of the Deseret News are thinking. But I do know that, and we allege in our litigation that the Huntsmans did, work on a deal before the 2013 JOA. Mm. And we got this JOA instead. So, at some point we got this JOA instead of, we believe, a sale to the Huntsman. So, we encountered turbulence in October of this recent year again because, you know, who knows what happened. But the Tribune reported it was reticence on the part of the Deseret. Yeah, the church, the Deseret News. We've got a buyer here in Huntsman that has, not been wholeheartedly embraced by the Deseret News, possibly a couple times.
Yeah.
So, but I,
So why now? Why would they now?
I don't know. It's been interesting that the defendants in our litigation are media people, and yet they do not feel an obligation to explain their positions to the public, which I think is unconscionable. But, we don't know. Our lawsuit was on the cusp of discovery. We've been in court for 2 years. We're very ably represented by Kara Porter and her firm, Christensen & Jensen. And I had every expectation that we would prevail in this litigation and discover who knows what. Maybe it wouldn't have been very flattering.
Yeah. But as you said, happy to back out if the conditions are right.
Oh yeah, we would never interfere with the sale of the paper to a benevolent local owner. That's a good outcome. I know some people are dubious because of the Huntsman family's Republican politics or their LDS roots. But
you're cool with that.
Well, I'm speaking personally. I think they're a good faith buyer. Great. Pillars of the community. I think it's a great outcome.
It's interesting. So, talking to Terry Orme about this, him saying something not unlike the model at the Wall Street Journal, where you have, you know, pretty conservative owner. And they've always been this way, even before Rupert Murdoch. I mean, the editorial sort of stance of the officially of the paper was always fairly conservative. Yet they had a, and they still do have a very respected newsroom. So you're cool. You're okay with that model, because it seems like that's what the Tribune may become.
You know, I will be sad if the editorial page moves rightward. It's reflected my politics for the last couple of years, for the first time in my lifetime, because, you know, you should remember that the Tribune is, you know, has historically been pretty centrist, maybe a little right. And during the tenure of Dominic Welch, the editorial page was actually quite far right wing. And so
I think people forget that.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's the inmates have been running the asylum for the last couple of years and it's gotten very liberal, but it's kind of by accident. The people who sign these guys' paychecks have a tendency to be more conservative, and we'll probably see that on the editorial page.
What kind of say do you want to have, or could you have, on the particulars about the way forward in terms of the way the Tribune is managed? Because there are, of course, it's still a newspaper in the digital age. That, you know, getting a viable, as you say, benevolent local owner isn't going to change the challenges that are still being faced by newspapers.
Yeah, you know, as far as the management goes, I mean, we would never presume to tell anybody how to manage the Salt Lake Tribune, but I do.
So that isn't going to be a condition for your agreement to sign off on that you make sure you guys have a plan in place to get this thing viable?
You know, I the revenue split is something that is going to be addressed.
Yeah.
So yes, there's that. But
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the, you know, the way this paper is going to be managed.
You know, the people of the Salt Lake Tribune are the people who we are, you know, we're fighting for. That is what we can call the Tribune. So, you know, we're you know, we would be sad to see Terry Orme go. We would be sad to see any layoff. I mean, that would be, you know, a disaster. But, you know, as far as their shift to the digital future, I mean, I think that the Tribune's been actually pretty innovative, considering they've had their revenue cut in half. And, you know, I expect that they will innovate just as much as anybody else is doing. You know, they're the largest news gathering operation in the state, independent news gathering operation. I mean, KSL and the Deseret News are bigger. But, you know, I think that they're going to be in a position to be viable. You know, one of the people looking to buy the Tribune called it a business with a long tail. It actually, you know, that's the business book by Chris Anderson. And, it is. I mean, it's got a million ways to make money. I think it's actually you could buy worse businesses, I think, than the Salt Lake Tribune.
So not popping champagne corks just yet. but you seem pretty relieved, sort of like this may be over at some point.
Well, we would like to see it be over, of course. But, you know, we were, and I think that the defendants in our litigation saw this, that we were prepared to continue, and we had the wherewithal to continue. And I think we had a winning legal case.
Joan O'Brien, former Tribune reporter, current board member of the group Citizens for Two Voices, joined us here in the studio. Thanks very much. Senator, thanks for joining us.
It's always a pleasure, Doug. Thank
you. Jim DeVacus represents Utah's 2nd District in the state Senate. We should also mention that he and a handful of other Utahns made their own attempt to jointly purchase the Salt Lake Tribune a few months ago. And, Senator, welcome to you. Thanks for being with us.
It's always great to be here, Doug.
Why aren't you jumping up and down?
I'm not jumping up and down.
Why aren't you jumping up and down, tickled and pleased that someone is buying this? So, yes, it's not your group, but...
Look, I'm cautiously optimistic. The hedge fund, the out-of-state buyers, the sharks, the crocodiles, the inefficient business end put the Salt Lake Tribune on this precipice, and their employees, they stripped every asset back to New York. And so the fact that we may have a viable local owner is reason to have some optimism. So only an idiot wouldn't see that at least the Tribune is off the ledge. And so that's a good sign.
But you have some reluctance, or at least some reticence, related to the editorial stance or the direction the Tribune may be headed. Let me hold that off for just a moment and get to what is you know, a big question, why would the Mormon Church sign off on a deal like this? They had veto power. So why would they sign off on it? What's your theory?
Well, if they claim they have veto power, and they've never done that in court, if they claimed that, the Department of Justice would say, you know what? You guys may all well be criminally charged because you cannot sit. Smiths can't sit down with Harmons, make a deal to put them out of business. You can't sit down with your competitor and say, I have a veto power over who's going to buy you.
But isn't that in the contract?
It's in the contract, but it's never been decided legally. Okay. So,
and that was part of the investigation of the Department of Justice.
Right. Yeah, so yeah. I was a couple of weeks ago back with the head guy in Section 3 of antitrust, had a long discussion with him and the other people. They're strongly involved in litigation now around the country, including Orange County Register. And I think that was Deseret News management was claiming that, but when it came right down to it, it was more of a threat. When it came right down to it, I think the last place they would have wanted to be legally is to say, hey, you got to get our approval to sell the paper. So that was out there, but I think it was more ethereal.
So do you think the Deseret News, the LDS Church, was worried about your group? That in terms of your kind of editorial sensibilities, we'll take Paul Huntsman way, way over Jim DeVacus?
I don't know what's going on in those discussions, but I know I came back from Washington. I had these serious discussions with the Department of Justice, and our group was a legitimate group. They knew really who they were. They included two people that are in the hundreds of millions of dollars.
And these naming them. We should.
No, I'm not going to name them because it's a bit of a moot point now. But these are names that everybody would recognize.
Locals,
all locals, okay. Including a stalwart Mormon who had pledged to do one thing, and that is come in, make sure that paper stays independent, make sure that all the editorial decisions would have been made by newspaper people. And one of them said, you know, Senator, you get caught in some scandal, you're going to be on the front page along with everybody else. And I said, if it was any other way, I wouldn't want to be part of it. So that was the attitude of our group. We also thought that this long tradition ought to continue, and it needs in this community to not be some mediocre Deseret News light editorially. It needs to be the strong progressive voice. So that was important to us. So we brought those back, and I think, I mean, the reports were that the Huntsman deal was dead last November. Yeah. I think we came back and said, you know what? We're legitimate. We got the dough. This is how we're going to run it. And then somebody somewhere had to decide, oh, man, what are we going to do now? Are we going to let this group of progressive people get in there and be our partner? Or anybody have a speed dial on the Huntsman's? You know, so I don't know that that's what happened, but I do know this, that the hedge fund didn't want to talk money. So the hedge fund
was... Wait, what do you mean?
So the hedge fund took the Huntsman deal,
yep,
without coming back to us and saying, what are you going to offer? Hmm. Which seems
that is interesting,
strange for a hedge fund, because those guys are about one big thing, and that is how much dough. So why exactly we weren't able to get to a number with them, I can't explain. But it seems weird to me. And frankly, it's something that the Department of Justice and perhaps our group would look at as far as a lawsuit. We want to make sure that this process was not corrupt and that it wasn't a kind of behind-the-scenes, old boys kind of deal.
Are you suggesting that in some way it's potential that Paul Huntsman or one of his surrogates made a deal with the Mormon Church that they would in some way soften, for example, the Tribune's coverage related to either political, ideological issues or cultural, religious issues?
Absolutely not.
Not at all.
I have
Well, I don't understand what you're saying then.
What I'm saying is, on the business point of view,
yeah,
why didn't the hedge fund want to hear our final number?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Why would they? Why would they not? unless the unless the paper,
the hedge fund couldn't care less about editorial views reporting or anything. They're just like this giant crocodile in New York, and they only want to strip the assets of the Tribune and keep pulling things there. So then you say, okay, who wouldn't want to hear our bottom line, and who would have enough influence on the hedge fund that they wouldn't want to come back to this group, which included at least 200 people with hundreds of millions of dollars? And I'm saying that may be a question for the Department of Justice. It may be for something on our part where we have to go in and find through discovery what those issues are. Or if we can just sit down and say, if I can feel comfortable that what I believe to be the great majority of Tribune readers believe and want, which is an independent paper, locally owned, with a strong, proud editorial voice, and with reporters who are absolutely free to cover the stories wherever they go, that's an entirely different matter. And maybe that is with the Huntsman's. I don't know.
You skeptical about that, though, in some way? I mean, you've got to be worried about that.
Look, you got to look at the family. This is a terrific pillar of the community. This is a terrific family. We got everything there is with the Huntsman. But on the other hand, we also have John Sr., who was in the White House with Richard Nixon. This is a long, proud, astonishing Republican conservative family. We had a little blip with John Jr. as governor, but now he's gone over to the dark side. He is the chairman of Mike Lee for Senate campaign.
So he's through with his progressive phase, I think, that is how
phase,
you put it.
That phase left. So now this voice that so many Utahns are passionate about, it's our single voice. Is this like BYU taking over the University of Utah Athletics and saying, don't worry, you know, we're going to take care of it. We may change who you play in basketball, but nonetheless, it's going to be fine. Trust us. Well, the 19,000 emails I have from Save the Tribune people want to know, where is this paper going to be editorially, and how soft are they going to be, and is Paul Raleigh safe, and is Pat Bagley safe, and is Bob Kirby safe, and are there going to be stories about BYU rape, and is Peggy Fletcher Stack going to be able to do the kind of thing she does, or is somebody going to go, you know what, that's a little sensitive, we're not going there? Is Matt Cannon and Tommy Burr, are they going to be fired because they did that really good book, by the way, about Romney's and Huntsman? So that's where the passion is. Yeah. Just give us the assurance, Deseret News and Huntsman's, that you really are going to be independent and you're going to let the paper go, and maybe we can forget some of these other things.
What do you think LDS church leaders are thinking about all of this? Do you have any idea?
If I did, I wouldn't say.
At least you're honest. Yeah. Yeah. So Terry Orme is talking about maybe what will happen is that, again, this was a question I mentioned with Joan, maybe what we'll do is we'll have a kind of conservative editorial voice. This has happened in the past. It's not unique. It's not exactly unique. But the newsroom will be independent. Are you comfortable with that?
No.
No.
I'm comfortable with an owner, I guess, having whatever editorial opinion he wants. But what the community needs is not the Deseret News light on the editorial page. There are issues, terrific issues, important issues, which get smothered in the back of the legislature.
But that sounds like that's what's going to happen. Didn't you hear that from Terry Orme? It sounds like that's what he said. They get to say what they want. It's their paper in the editorial. But you would just hate that, is I guess what you're saying.
I would think if that progressive voice is killed, and there is this kind of moderate downtown Chamber of Commerce kind of Republican, we will have lost a lot of our soul, and a lot of people will have lost their opinion in our community, and that would be a tragic loss.
So the stakes are pretty high for you still. This is still very much. You sound really nervous.
I am. And, you know, the other thing is there's a marketplace here, too. And the optimistic part says if the Huntsmans do get control, they do understand markets. And suddenly, if people like myself and other leaders of the progressive community go, you know what, this ain't a fair deal, then their subscription rate might plummet. So there is a reason to have a dialogue and to come out strong and come up with policies and things that will make us comfortable if that's the way that this deal turns out.
Senator, thanks for joining us.
It's always a pleasure, Doug. Thank
you. Jim DeVacus represents Utah's 2nd District in the State Senate. We'll take a break and be back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we've been talking about all of the questions associated with the Salt Lake Tribune. The family of Utah billionaire John Huntsman Sr. is buying the Tribune from its hedge fund owners. The deal is not entirely complete yet, but seems to be on its way there, and so we're discussing it. Now on the program, we have Glenn Warchel, who is the managing editor of Salt Lake Magazine, former reporter, of course, with the Salt Lake Tribune. He's been reporting in this community for a long time now. Glenn, welcome back. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be here.
Initial impression of this deal? As the skeptic as you are, what was your initial impression?
Well, I think to sum it up in a nutshell, it's any deal almost would be great to get the Tribune out of the control of a New York, basically, pawn shop, get it out of Hawk, get it in local control. I don't see how you can see a bad side to that. The Huntsman, I wrote a blog, of course, on some of the troubling things that could come from it that you've gone over already.
Well, I want to go over, actually, these because you sort of go down these four, so I want to mention them.
Yeah.
Before we get to that, though, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, look, in order for this to have happened, there had to have been a change in the joint operating agreement. It was just a terrible deal for the Tribune. You're not so sure about it. Do you think that the joint operating agreement was reworked or is going to be reworked in order for this deal to go through?
Well, I can't imagine that there won't be some rejiggering of it at the very least. It can't be eliminated for legal reasons, and also because basically if you ended the joint operating agreement, the Tribune would have to buy trucks, would have to set up an advertising department, you know, all of that, get newspaper boys. But it has to change. You can't be bleeding out to your competitor. I forget what the ratio is exactly, but it's like 70-30.
Yeah, something
like
that.
So you've basically got the Tribune.
Plus, they don't own the printing operations.
No.
I mean, the Salt Lake Tribune sold, as a part of that deal, their share of the printing operation.
Yeah.
So the Des owns all of that.
Yeah. I think it goes without saying that that was the most insane agreement that was ever made. And it was probably, and we will never know the details of what was behind it, but it was a way to get hard cash to pay off stockholders in that hedge fund. And the owners are mercenary, and they don't really care about Salt Lake, so they cashed in some of their assets and paid off their clamoring stockholders, and we were left with the Tribune, which is just basically slowly bleeding out to the Deseret News. And as Terry hinted at, it just couldn't be sustained. You'd see the paper slowly decline, lay off more people, whatever. And the other good thing about this might be, and this is going to be the real test, I think, is if the Tribune gets freedom to handle its issues locally, like its online content and things, do they have the talent and the management horsepower to make it work? They've frankly had an excuse all this time that their hands were tied, that they couldn't go after it because these people were giving them parts of the chain was running what they did here.
Yeah.
So we'll see on that if this comes about.
Which means what? There's going to have to be an infusion of money for that, changes in leadership, transformation of the newsroom in some ways. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, this is very hard, and it's always messy. A lot of the people that support the Tribune, and I'm one of them, don't understand how messy the newspaper business is. And I'd go as far as to say, Senator DeBacus, Jim, isn't totally cognizant of how news operations work and how messy it is. But I don't think they're going to get much more money. I don't know how they can. They might get that profit shift made. They'll have to somehow set up and do these things online. I'm sure they have some people in place that can do that. But I really think it might pivot on a really strong, aggressive, smart management team of journalists, a journalistic management team to make this happen. And I don't know if the Tribune has that right now. I think one of the problems at the Tribune was being a legacy media property. They did things like legacy businesses do, which we have learned has been disrupted. So they laid people off at the bottom end. And I make this analogy a lot. If you had a football team that had losing seasons for 7 years, you'd get a new coaching staff. You wouldn't get rid of your second string and first string players. The owners would say, "Hey, we need to get some new people in here." That has never happened at the Tribune.
I wonder what you make of the question: why would the LDS Church sign off on this deal?
That does make me a little bit hesitant about the whole thing. Everybody at the Tribune remembers, and I don't know if the readers remember or even knew about it because it wasn't something the Tribune trumpeted, but when Dean Singleton took control of the Tribune, he told the church that the Tribune would not go after the church, whatever he meant by that. But he told the Tribune in a staff meeting, the staff, that because of the way that horrible scandal the Tribune had with Elizabeth Smart, that he was ashamed of that and that he felt that Tribune coverage of the church was biased. So those deals were made before.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anybody noticed, the Tribune did back off on a lot of coverage of LDS issues. Or the problem in this state is everything has an LDS connection. You write land issues, things like that. Somebody's brother is a bishop when someone gets in trouble. It's always there.
Joan O'Brien says that the paper's headed left.
Oh, she's right. Because they had these non-hands-on owners who are just looking at money, the Tribune basically could do anything at once, including criticize its own owners. And they didn't care. They didn't read the Tribune. They just were breaking pieces off and selling them. And so, yes, the Tribune went very progressively. I don't know if that's a good thing. I mean, from a business aspect, I would think the Tribune, you could argue that the Tribune might get more subscribers if it swung right. Because outside of Salt Lake proper,
the state is more center right,
to say the least. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Have you been down to
just Provo lately? Yeah. No. So, to some of your concerns that you've expressed, the Huntsman family, as you've put it in your blog, doesn't have a stellar track record for understanding or respecting journalism. We've talked about that a bit, but would you mention your concerns about that?
Well, my concerns about that are, it's not that they're evil or something. They're businessmen. And like the Chamber of Commerce and most businessmen, they think they have this idea that you write nice things about everybody and it helps everybody and the place gets better. And they don't understand it when somebody questions the way they're doing things or the way a business is doing things. And a few years ago, 2004, the Tribune did a very good investigative story on people in Texas who said that their proximity to Huntsman Chemical was causing them health issues.
Yeah.
Tribune did a good story on it. I believe the Huntsman family doesn't own those properties anymore. But anyway, the Huntsmans were not happy with that, bought a full-page ad in the Tribune, which is nice because it gave the Tribune some money, but they denounced the Tribune.
Right.
And so that just gives you this idea of a getting Chamber of Commerce owners of kind of thinking people as owners of a aggressive news organ. It might not be the best thing.
But Terry Orme's response to that is, hey, we ran this ad. And he also says, you know, when Karen Huntsman objected to the coverage of the Matt Canham and Tommy Burst book, we ran that editorial. So we can find a way in the middle is what he's suggesting.
Yeah, you can. But it, as I said, it's very messy. I had the experience of working for the Deseret News in the 80s, and it was nothing like today. It was actually trying to be a big paper, a real paper. But I saw how subtle and nuanced the ownership of the newspaper would seep in to news coverage. So the Huntsmans, they did that because they didn't own the Tribune. When they own the Tribune, are they going to give a thumbs up to a story that investigates the cancer center, that takes a hard look at charities in the community that may or may not be overpaying their executives, things like that? We'll have to see. It's one of those things we'll have to see.
And another one of these elements that you raise is the possibility that John Huntsman Jr. isn't finished with his presidential aspirations. That may be a dynamic in all of this? No,
yes. And also, you know, I don't think that's a terrible one, but we have seen how John Huntsman Sr. has sort of overreacted in the Mitt Romney thing and some other things. So we could see him really pushing his son and being totally blind to the fact that it would be inappropriate for the newspaper. But that said, the Tribune did similar things with the Olympics, where they boosted the Olympics in the past. So this is not new for the Tribune. There's kind of a rosy view of the old Tribune as being this totally kick-ass newspaper, but it did have its issues with that kind of thing.
Let me ask you one more thing, and it's again gets to this idea. What would you make of the fact that the editorial page of the Tribune was decidedly conservative, driven by Paul Huntsman and his ideas, and the newsroom is independent, like the Wall Street Journal? What would you, as a journalist, what do you think about that?
I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. They own the paper. They can put anything they want on the editorial page, as they did back in the 80s and 90s. And at that point, they if you let the reporters run free and do things and don't interfere, that's no problem whatsoever. Let them have their electric train on the editorial page.
Glenn Wortschel, managing editor of Salt Lake Magazine, former reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune. Thanks for coming in. Radio West is a production of KUER News. Technical direction from Tim Slover. The program produced by Elaine Clark and Benjamin Bombard. I'm Doug Fabrizio.